Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezras Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 543. We're in a book called Bahavas Aleichem, called by Rabbi Moshe Hershkowitz. A very, very fundamental, beautiful, informative book. Chapter 8, he talks about attachment theory. Attachment theory is something that I really wanted to go into depth in. There's many people that talk about it, and it's kedai to delve into it. The subtitle of the chapter says how childhood experience impacts marriage. Extremely truthful thing. And it plays again and again in adult life, especially in marriages, when we carry the wounds of our childhood and our defense mechanisms of our childhood and adult and teenage years into adulthood and into marriage. And that creates a lot of challenges that we have to overcome. Now, Ram Tversky, who we quoted a lot from, he seems, from the little that I read, to downplay a lot of this, saying that it's not necessarily always the case, that the childhood experience does not necessarily impact adulthood. You just need to tweak certain things in your normal current adult life, and you don't have to really delve deeply into what happened in childhood. I'm going to leave the experts to fight this on their own. On how significant this is or isn't, I will say that I sense that it is quite significant. Now, it goes, this is my own thing I'm saying now. This is not related to Rabbi Hershkowitz's book, what I just said and what I'm going to say in the next minute or two. This is my own thoughts. And my own thoughts are that with therapy overall, or when someone's in a tremendous pain because of trauma in the past and all these type of things, or there are things that need to be worked through in the past, it's very important to have a combination of a past and present orientation. There are people who delve so much in their past that they are right now 85 years old and they've been in therapy for the last 75 plus years because the nun in their church, in the school they were in, the religious school, whacked them and hit them, and they're still traumatized 75 years later. You know, at some point, you got to move on. But then to downplay it and to say that childhood trauma and difficulties and embarrassing moments and traumatic moments are nothing is false. It leaves scars. It leaves scars. So logic and common sense dictates that there needs to be a balance. Anytime someone goes for help, there needs to be a balance of going through past things and getting it out of the system and understanding it, unpacking it and understanding it. But there's a certain point where a person needs to say, okay, what now? Like in the present, you need to have skills and tools and work through current skills and tools to get over those defense mechanisms and to get over those past ideas. But the idea is, and again, I read it in briefly by Rabbi Tversky. He doesn't delve too much, although he himself, in some of his books, does mention things that impacted him from his childhood and younger years. So he's not denying that. But the question is on the emphasis. But there's definitely a truth to this. And attachment theory is something that's extremely verifiable, scientific. And I have to do more research on it. Rabbi Hershkowitz clearly did. So he explains here as follows. He says couples need to grow their attachment to one another. If they both, husband and wife, if they both experience successful attachments to their parents in early life, it's easier for them to have the healthy attachment in their adult life as a husband and as a wife. But if they have previous emotional trauma or insecure attachments in the past with their parents or siblings, it's harder to bond with a spouse and adapt to a new situation in life. So as a child grows, they go through a series of development stages that reflect their physical growth and their, what he calls, social-emotional growth. And it impacts their styles in later life. So he quotes Harville Hendrick's Receiving Love workbook that goes through 6 stages of emotional development that ties into someone Eric Erickson's work on personality development. And so we're going to go through them briefly here. And it's kedai to listen and then think how some of this affects you in your present life. A child's first stage of development is an attachment stage that occurs in infancy, where they trust their caregivers or they don't trust their caregivers. That consistency of care, that quality of care, can have an imprint on the child's later sense of trust in the world and to others. So as an adult, if a child lacked stable, trusting environment with a caregiver, they may have difficulty trusting their spouse as well. They may live in fear of being rejected by their spouse or abandoned. If they were left in the crib to cry, and they were never held, or they were not fed for hours later, and being neglected and rejected, they may not consciously remember any of this. But if this is a pattern, and this didn't just happen once or twice, but some say it affects them even if it happens once or twice, but certainly if it's a pattern, they'll feel insecure as adults, not even knowing why, but that's what happens. And therefore, they may believe that they'll be rejected by their spouse or abandoned by their spouse, and they have that inner fear of that that came from that early stage. Another stage of childhood is exploration. That's the next one, like toddlers, right? The two-year-olds, they exercise their curiosity. They get to know the world. And sometimes parents are so fearful or overprotective that they stifle their children's attempts to explore. And by doing so, some children may react in a way that they grow up in a fear, their fear of being smothered, their fear of being invalidated or humiliated. And when they're married, their fear of being smothered by their spouse is strong. Other parents are so negligent that their children don't feel supervised or safe. So they'll regard their spouses as well as being unreliable or inconsistent, even though their spouse is reliable and is consistent, but they have that trauma from the neglect of their parents. And then they move into school years, and then they want to see how they fit in the social fabric of their worlds. That's called an identity stage. Parents regard has much to do with how the child can accept themselves for who they are and who they not are. So, for example, some parents demand that their children conform to their expectations or to their community expectations, sometimes squashing their true personality. That leaves the child with a choice between being loved or being true to themselves. And sometimes a child wants to be true to themselves, and they stubbornly cling to who they believe they are, and their parents don't understand them, and there's a certain rejection that they feel from their parents by not accepting them, and that carries on in the marriage relationship, where they maintain that fear that if they step out of a certain role, they're going to lose their spouse's love. Sometimes they'll react that way. Sometimes they'll react the opposite. They'll become attached to the principles that define them. In other words, if they were a child and the parents forced them to conform and they chose, to survive, I'm going to conform. So, and I'm going to conform to a certain set of rules the way I was brought up. And now they're married. They fear that if they give in to their spouse, they give in to their partner, they'll lose some of their self of identity and they'll become invisible or lose their partner's love. So here is three different stages that we explain how it could affect your current adult marriage situation. Then the fourth stage is when the older children develop competencies and they master things, skills. It's called a competency stage, especially in high school or in college, or they're valued by their ability to succeed, whether it's in academics, whether it's sports or other talents or socially, or in our stages with their learning or whatever it may be. And those who are considered failures or simply feel invisible, they don't conform to that aspect of competency, may have their self-doubts linger into their adult relationships, and those self-doubts will go into their marriage as well. They may fear that their partner, their husband and wife now will see them as a failure, will see them as not adding up to who they need to be and withdraw their love. And they're fearful of that withdrawal of love. That may happen because of their belief that they're not competent enough or they don't add up to who they should be. And those who are successful may have a different fear. The fear that their successes may intimidate their spouse, cause them to turn away from them. This is a common fear, by the way, in women when they are professionally successful, and sometimes their professional success can outshine the professional success of their husbands, there is a fear in women that they will be rejected by their husbands because of this sort of jealousy or inferiority that their husband feels towards them, that will turn their husbands away from them because of their success. It's a complex thing, but it is true. And husbands that need to sort of figure that out and work that through and not become intimidated by it. Then, a fifth stage, as they grow up, they learn the give and take relationship. It's called the concerning stage. Adult relationships may require giving and taking and mutual liking, but if a person didn't learn to create such a relationship, they may fear a partner, that their partner doesn't see them as an equal. In other words, they may be perceived as needy and thereby rejected. Even though it's normal for even adults to express needs from time to time. In other words, what happens here is that you feel that you don't deserve to have your needs. And as an adult, you don't deserve to express them. And you feel if you do express them, your husband or wife will reject you for even expressing that you have such a need. And then the sixth stage is the intimacy stage. Basically is when a relationship comes closer, they reveal how they handle challenges that they face. And that's a challenging aspect. It creates a new fear. There'll be a fear that one of them will withdraw approval if the other one is too different from them. Their fear they'll be criticized if they express themselves freely. If they have an opinion that sounds different, a lot different than what their husband feels or what their wife feels, they may be afraid to express that opinion because they'll feel they'll be rejected, or they'll feel that their partner, their husband or wife, will think there's something wrong with them. Or they're afraid that their husband or wife will try to control their thoughts. You have a krum hashkafa, and I want to squash it. You have this, let's say, if they were both brought up in an ultra-Orthodox community, as an example, and one of them has more open-minded a look of things in hashkafa, afraid to express any of that. And they bury it within because of a fear of being attacked, a fear of being ridiculed, a fear of expressing themselves, but they die inside if they don't do that. Each individuality, they have to work on a happy medium in a practical way in how they raise their children, how to conduct their house, but they could work through it. But to suppress the person's deep, deep convictions and feelings and hashkafas is very, very unhealthy, and it breaks that intimacy stage from happening in a healthy way. So all these things happen through the stages of childhood and teenage years and so on, and it colors the adult relationships. And we will go through in the next year some of the examples of this attachment theory basis of how childhood experiences could affect negatively or become challenges. But again, the idea being, like we're going to explain, is Hashem did this on purpose for us to grow. That's the Ezer Kenegde, by the way. You have the Rashi's Pshat, which is MS. Your Zeichel be an Ezer, your not Zeichel be Kenegde. But like the Netziv and other Mefarshim explain, that the Kenegde, the Pasha Pshat, the real Pasha Pshat, is Ezer Kenegde, is one lump thing. The Ezer is sometimes looks like an Ezer, and the Ezer sometimes looks like a Kenegde, which actually is an Ezer. In other words, these conflicts that we see in marriage is believe it or not, is Hashem's way of saying, I want you to heal. I want you to work through this, and you have in each other's hands the refuah to give to one another, a refuah for your pain, your emotional pain. This is the ironic part of marriage. It seems like your husband or wife is the cause of your emotional pain because you react to it. In reality, within it, when you work through it, your husband and wife hold the key to the healing of your emotional pain. If you both act maturely and learn how to handle it right, and learn how to cope with it right, and learn how to grow together, then those very connectors, those very oppositions, will create the most beautiful healing, the ultimate Ezer. Bracha v'atzlacha.